Welcome to the Cato Institute. My name is Roger Pilon. I'm the director of Cato's Center for Constitutional Studies, which is sponsoring the event today. I have to announce, first of all, we were to be joined by Peggy Nance from the FCC, but she had a family emergency come up. And so in her stead, we have Leslie Marks, who is the chief economist over at the FCC, to comment on Jack's talk today. The issue of indecency has been very much in the news over the last few years. I hardly need to remind a number of the people in this audience of that. Objecting to what they called increased government control of what people watch on television for the four major TV networks and their affiliates, together with the Hearst Argyle Television Group, filed a suit just last month to challenge the FCC. The appeals filed in both New York and Washington federal district courts challenged the FCC's March 15 finding that profane language was used in CBS's The Early Show in 2004, incidents involving Cher and Nicole Richie on the Billboard Music Awards show broadcast by Fox in 2002 and 2003, and various episodes of the ABC show NYPD Blues and that aired in 2003. Well, now, this raises tricky First Amendment issues, of course, because while the courts have held that the government can get involved in regulating obscenity, indecency is another matter, as though there were some bright line between the two, which, of course, there isn't. Moreover, you've got the problem that the FCC regulation over the broadcast television is more extensive than it is over cable or satellite. And, of course, most people today get their television from cable and satellite. And so it's a very tricky governmental undertaking to regulate this. In this conflicting area between the TV stations and in its various modes of communication and the FCC, there has emerged a new program, and that's what Jack Valenti has come to talk about today. Polls consistently show that the American people think that there is too much indecent programming shown on television. At the same time, those same polls show that the people, by and large, don't want government involved in this. And so what the various organizations from television to cable to the movie studios and others have done is get together to develop a new, very user-friendly way to allow parents to control what comes into their homes through their televisions. And that's what Jack is going to talk to us about today, after which Dr. Marks is going to be commenting. I'll take a moment now to introduce Jack Valenti, who probably, for many of you, needs no introduction. And then, before she speaks, I will introduce Dr. Marks. Jack Valenti is, of course, a Washington institution. He began his service to the public, it may interest some of you to know, as a 21-year-old combat pilot who flew 51 missions against the Nazis in Italy, and he was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross as a result of that. He was born in Texas. He has an MBA from Harvard. He was the co-founder of a Houston advertising agency and political consultancy, and he was in the motorcade in Dallas when JFK was assassinated on November 22, 1963. He was summoned to Air Force One at Love Field by the new president and was the first newly hired special assistant to President Johnson. He departed the White House in 1966 to become the CEO of the Motion Picture Association of America, a post he's held for almost 39 years, stepping down just in September of 2004. He's now the president of Friends of Global Fight Against AIDS, Malaria, and TB. He has his own star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame, and he's heading up this $300 million project through the Ad Council, and he's now going to tell us about it. So please join me in welcoming Jack Valenti. And Jack is going to... Jack will be speaking, as is his wont, with a handheld microphone right in front of us. And so it will be a rather more informal presentation than we're used to seeing here, but we welcome it all the same.
Thank you, Roger, very much for that introduction. A little brief, but what the hell, I'm not going to argue about it. And I'm so glad to see some of the students from Bancroft Elementary School here. I have been able to spend my entire working career in two of life's classic fascinations, politics and movies. And both those arenas depend for their very existence on freedom of speech and responsibility. In the movie industry, parental responsibility. Parental responsibility. Does parental responsibility work, or is it just some defunct piece of mythology? Yes, it most certainly does, and I will tell you one example. 36 years ago, I invented the voluntary movie rating system. Nothing lasts 36 years in this volatile and explosive marketplace unless it is providing some kind of a benefit to the people that it aims to serve, in this instance, parents of America. How does it work? We rate movies, G, PG, PG-13, R, and NC-17, and then we give parents advance cautionary warnings, letting them know what's in this movie, so that the parent, and only the parent, can make decisions about what movies they want their children to see or not to see. Now, since 1969, the Opinion Research Corporation of Princeton, New Jersey, has been taking nationwide surveys for the last 15 years in margins ranging from 72% to 82%. Parents with children under 13 say this rating system is very useful to fairly useful in helping them monitor and guide their children's movie going. For you journalists here, how many public officials do you know today that have a 72 to 82% approval rating? Not very many. This rating system works. So what I'm here today is to say to the FCC, through the comely features of Dr. Marks, that the only way for the FCC to deal with indecency, for anyone to deal with it, is to arm parents with information and with education about the fact that they today have total power. Let me say that again, have total power to control all entertainment channels that come into their home. The FCC does not have that power. The FCC can never have that power. Why? Simply because by constitutional strictures and the Supreme Court disallows them from regulating cable or direct broadcast satellite. And I must say there is some legal question about their ability to do that with over-the-air radio television stations. So, you might say, well, okay, Valenti, that's fine, but how are you going to go about this? Recently, a coalition of every television station in this country, every cable system, every direct broadcast satellite entity, all the national broadcast networks, the National Association of Broadcasters, the National Cable Telecommunications Association, the Motion Picture Association, and the Consumer Electronics Association have banded together in an unprecedented, seamless unity. Never happened before, because these companies kill each other in the marketplace. They come from disparate objectives, and they are antagonistic toward each other in the marketplace. But on this issue, they've come together. We haven't squandered one piece of unity yet. I'm overjoyed and, frankly, quite amazed. What we are doing is we're embarking on a $300 million campaign to educate and inform American parents over an 18-month period to let them know that they have total power to control every minute of television that comes through their television set, whether it's direct broadcast, whether it's cable, or whether it's over-the-air television, through the V-chip, blocking mechanisms of cable, blocking mechanisms of DBS. So, We have enlisted the Ad Council, which is a prestigious group that for many decades has been educating the American public about public policy issues. They've brought in McCann Erickson, one of the great advertising agencies of this world, to design the messages that we're going to send to 110 million television homes over and over and over again. Just last Tuesday, a number of us in this room today and of the coalition went to New York, and we visited with the Ad Council in a long meeting at McCann Erickson to review their labors and the creative messages that we will launch sometime in late June. This, I think, this unprecedented informational campaign, which for the first time is coordinated in a way that never was before, I think has extraordinary promise because it's doing it the right way. Voluntary parental responsibility. We are reaching out to churches and advocacy groups like the PTA to provide them with material they can send to their congregations and to their members. We are reaching out through the Consumer Electronics Association to set manufacturers of television and to retail stores. So when you go in to buy a brand new television set, it will be heralded on that set, this set contains a V-chip, and here's how to use it. Now, I want to say that I have no personal criticisms of the FCC, and certainly not of its intelligent, energetic chairman, Kevin Martin. I'm greatly admiring of Kevin, and I might add of his very smart wife, Catherine, as well. Kevin Martin is trying to do what he thinks is right to do to serve his country, just as I did when I worked for President Johnson. I think Kevin and I both woke up every morning trying to figure out what we could do to benefit the people that we have by solemn oath sworn to serve. So I have no brief against Kevin Martin. But the wonderful thing about living in this free and loving land is that ordinary citizens can disagree with their government. The Constitution says that the Congress cannot abridge the freedom of speech, nor of the press, nor of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and petition the government for their grievances. Now, those words come right out of the Constitution, words that are as sturdy today as they were when James Madison composed them. I think that's very important. Now, let me summarize what I'm saying up here, and then I hope after Dr. Mark speaks, and I'll say something else, hopefully reasonable, that we'll have some questions from the group here. Number one, the FCC today and in the future does not have the power to regulate all the channels that come into the home. Can't do it. No way. They cannot regulate cable, and they cannot regulate DBS. But the people can, because of the blocking mechanisms that I have just told you about. Number one, I'm loath to say this, Dr. Marks, but the FCC's rules on indecency are, to my untutored eye, vague, ill-defined, and very, very fuzzy. And by the way, the FCC is only dealing in words. That's what this is all about. And in the fines that they inflicted recently have to do with words. Not violence, not sensual innuendo, but only words. Words, I might add, that you can hear every day on the playground of every middle school and every high school in this country. And I hope that Dr. Marks will tell us, not about the subjectivity, but if you're going to fine somebody, shouldn't they know what they're being fined about? Number three, only parents have the right to make these judgments about what they want their children to see and not to see. All parents are different. All children are different. And in the back, those wonderful children, their parents probably have different views about what books they ought to read, what friends they ought to have, what movies they ought to see, and what television programs they find suitable. And number four, poll after poll reveals what I think is a sublime fact of nature and parenting, and that is this. When you ask parents Do you believe there are certain television shows today that you find unsuitable for your children? By margins of 70 to 80%, parents says, absolutely yes. There are some out there I don't think my children ought to watch. And then when you ask them, the second question, do you want the federal government to step in and fix it? The answer by 70 to 80% is a resounding no, no, no. Again, most Americans don't want government intruding into their lives, their personal lives, the way they conduct the lives of their children. They don't want that. Now, let me conclude. I believe that any idea that cannot withstand the abrasions of an open debate is probably not a good idea. And any government agency regulation that cannot withstand a counter-rebuttal is probably not a good regulation. And I might say the same for myself. If what I've said up here and what I'm saying now cannot withstand some counter-argument, then what I'm saying to you is probably not very valuable. So let the games begin.
That's an interesting way you've ended it, Jack. In fact, I'm going to turn to that in just a second. But I want to say that we're very pleased to have Dr. Leslie Marks with us, especially on such short notice. Just this morning, she agreed to fill in for Penny Nance. She joined the FCC in August of 2005 as its chief economist. She's on leave from the Duke University Fuqua School of Business, where she's professor of economics. Dr. Marks has published numerous articles on contracting, industrial organization, and auctions. She has a bachelor's degree in mathematics from Duke and a PhD in economics from Northwestern University. Now we get to the let the games begin, because Dr. Marks, it turns out, competed in the sport of fencing and has multiple U.S. and Pan-American gold medals to her credit. She competed on the U.S. Olympic team in 1996, finishing 16th in her event. More recently, her focus has been on family. Dr. Marks and her husband have two children and are expecting their third child in the fall. Would you please welcome to Fence with Jack Valente, Dr. Leslie Marks.
Thank you very much. I'm going to stick with the more traditional podium approach. You can hear me back there? Great. So I appreciate having the opportunity to speak to the group today, and I realize that I don't have the color of Mr. Valente nor the style of Penny Nance, who is scheduled to be here today, but I am a parent with two kids at home and another one coming, and I'm an economist, so I still hope to be able to contribute to the discussion today. I have some remarks prepared to present to you. And so hope to add something to today's debate. Mr. Valente talked about giving parents power, giving them control over the programming that comes into their home. The FCC agrees that it's a great thing to empower parents, that parents should have total control over the programming that comes into their home. But if you want to empower parents, then really empower them. If you want to enable them to avoid watching television that they don't want, then allow them to choose the channels that they want to watch and not pay for the channels that they don't want to watch. If you really want people, parents in particular, to be able to regulate, as Mr. Valente said, the cable industry, then they must be given the ability to buy only the channels that they find appropriate for their families. As I understand it, Mr. Valente advocates providing consumers with the information they need to make informed choices and then the technological ability to block what they don't want. But why should you have to pay for channels that you are blocking? The FCC has looked into the issue of providing consumers with more choice and has found that a la carte and other means for increasing consumer choice could benefit consumers. As discussed in the FCC's further report on the packaging and sale of video programming services to the public, many consumers could gain more control while lowering their monthly bills. The further report finds, and a CRS report confirms, that an earlier FCC report overstated the average price per cable channel under a la carte. The further report finds that after correcting for mistakes in the earlier FCC report, that a la carte reduces consumers' bills in 3 out of the 4 scenarios considered. 2 primary effects on consumers of the move to greater consumer choice are, first of all, for consumers who don't currently purchase MVPD services because they either cannot afford to purchase those services or don't get enough value from those services to justify the price, they would have a lower entry point for obtaining those services. So greater consumer choice can allow lower prices, allowing those services to be provided to more consumers. Second, some consumers who are willing to pay the high price for the large bundle when given no other option, but who only watched a limited number of channels, would be able to save money by switching to a lower priced option. Both of these effects are good for consumers. Some previously underserved consumers could obtain service, while some previously served consumers would be able to lower their monthly bills. This last effect is particularly important for some consumers, such as Spanish language consumers, who in many markets are forced to purchase the basic cable and then the expanded basic cable packages before they even have the opportunity to purchase a Spanish language tier. Why should Spanish-speaking consumers be forced to pay for and subsidize channels they don't watch in order to get the channels that they value? As described in the FCC's further report, there are a number of ways to empower parents by giving them more control. A video provider could enable parents to block and get reimbursed. It's a more comprehensive version of what Mr. Valenti is proposing. You could buy themed tiers, like in the United Kingdom. You could buy varying number of channels of your own choice for some corresponding price, like in Canada, or buy channels individually, like in Hong Kong. Themed tiers are available in the United Kingdom, where subscribers of Britain's Sky TV can choose from a menu of themed packages called mixes that include small numbers of channels. The variety mix, for example, includes dramas, old classics, and comedies, while the style mix offers food, fashion, travel, and arts. Subscriber-selected tiers, it's like ordering from a catering menu, they're available in Canada, where Rogers Cable allows digital subscribers to add channels to the basic cable package by purchasing predetermined theme packs, or if they want, they can design their own packages, selecting the channels they want. They can choose a single cable channel for about $2.25. They can purchase 5 channels of their own choosing for about $9, 10 channels of their own choosing for about $13.55, 15 channels for $17.20, 20 channels for about $19.95, etc. A block and reimburse option has been used in a different medium by Sports Illustrated. If you are not interested in receiving their swimsuit issue, you can call them up and they will not send it to you. You can have it blocked, but your bill will be credited the value of the issue. So you'll be reimbursed for the issue that you do not receive. Pure a la carte is available in Hong Kong. Consumers can purchase cable channels from either Hong Kong Cable, which offers a large bundle of channels in its basic package, or from Now TV, which offers its channels individually at monthly prices that start at less than $1 per channel. In 2005, the monthly bills of consumers purchasing their video programming a la carte were approximately half of those for consumers subscribing to Hong Kong Cable. For half of what a U.S. cable household might pay, a Hong Kong family who wants to watch programs like sports, movies, news, children's programming, can obtain Hong Kong's 15 broadcast channels plus a selection of 11 additional channels, including popular programming such as ESPN, CNN International, HBO, Disney Channel, Animal Planet, and Discovery. all the programming competes in the free market, and diverse programming selections have remained. And the recent increase in competition in Hong Kong has reversed a trend in Hong Kong's cable prices, which increased at rates far greater than inflation between 1995 and 2002, but then have actually fallen significantly since Now TV came on the scene with its a la carte offerings. Hong Kong Cable attributes these decreases to the increased competitiveness of the market and has responded to consumer demand for more choice by offering its own mini packages. There's every reason to believe that a la carte offerings would be equally, if more, not more, successful here in the United States. According to a recent AP Ipsos poll, 78% of respondents said they, too, would prefer to choose and pay for their own tailored selection of channels. The experience in these other markets shows that a la carte and greater consumer choice does indeed work. It can enable consumers to reduce their monthly bills, and it can increase the competitiveness of the MVPD market. And all of these examples show parents in a variety of other countries have more control, and consumers in those countries are able to reap the rewards of greater choice in their purchases of video programming. Why shouldn't American parents have this same power? Mr. Valenti has mentioned how successful the rating system has been in the movie industry. If we were to model a solution for cable television off of what worked in the movie industry, then we would have the entertainment industry rate every show, and parents would buy only those shows they wanted to buy. I don't think, though, that that's what he's proposing. I'm not sure it makes sense to advocate that the industry rate some channels and some programs and allow parents to block them, but then tell those same parents that they have to pay for all of them anyway. So, to conclude, let me reiterate that the FCC agrees that parental choice and control is critically important. But to really give parents the choice and control they need, allow them to purchase only those channels they regard as appropriate for their families. Allow consumer choice to be the factor that regulates programming content in the cable industry. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Jack is going to respond for a couple of minutes. We're then going to open it up to audience questions and answers, and we're going to have that followed by lunch upstairs. So, Jack?
Dr. Marks, I congratulate you on that tour of the world that you gave us, and I know the United Nations would be pleased with what they heard. But you didn't answer my question. And I remember when I worked for President Johnson, and we would be prepping him for a press conference that would be held the next day. And I remember we were trying to think of the questions that the press would ask so the president could rehearse his answers. And one assistant said, "Now, Mr. President, if you get a question that you don't want to answer or you don't have the answer, answer another question that nobody asked you." So that's what Dr. Marks did. And this is no indictment of you, Dr. Marks, but I remember that I was in a meeting with John Kenneth Galbraith, the great Harvard-trained economist, who was telling jokes about economists, and he said, somebody once said that economics is an inexact science, that if you ask an economist his phone number and he can't remember it, he'll give you an estimate. So that's what we have here. Now, she did not tell you that in the previous FCC administration under Michael Powell, an economic survey was done that said a la carte would be too expensive, that if you just had somebody buying 10 programs out of 100 channels, then the fishing channel and the golf channel and maybe the National Geographic channel would be enfeebled because nobody would be buying them, and yet, I mean, in great numbers, and therefore you would be denying niche players. I watch the golf channel. I don't know how many people would buy the golf channel. But the point is that when the new administration, the FCC, they threw away the economic study done by Michael Powell's administration and did their own. In other words, if you don't like what one doctor tells you, heck, go to another one. You might get a better deal out of that. So I don't find this catalog of a la carte to be substantive and directed toward what the challenge is. The FCC just fined broadcast stations millions and millions of dollars on words, not economic transactions, which can be primitive at times, but on words. Now, I'm asking you, what is the rule? What are the rules for what words they choose? You and I both know, and since these children are here today, I'm not going to say it, but there are words that they allowed that I wouldn't have allowed, and there are words they disallowed that I would allow. But nowhere do you see any specific catalog of this is what you ought to do. Now, when Saving Private Ryan was put on the air, and Steven Spielberg said you can't edit one frame of it if you show it, number of broadcast circuits opted out because they didn't know there's some four-letter words in there, and they thought, I better not show it because I'll be fined. Well, guess what? The FCC, and in my judgment rightly, said, you're exempted. Well, who's exempted? How do you know? I put to you again, Dr. Marks, as courteously as I can. Vague, ill-defined, fuzzy. You never attached any of your remarks to that. And you gave an economic summary, but that's not what we're talking about. We're dealing in words. How do you deal with violence? How do you deal with sensually innuendo program? You didn't mention that. A la carte is something that economists are challenging each other. Michael Powell's economist says it's too expensive, it'll cost the consumer more. Kevin Martin's economist says it'll cost the consumer less. Who's right? Hell, I don't know. But the cable industry has already begun. Comcast and Time Warner have family tiers out there right now. Now, you may object to it, but they have them there. So I'm saying to you, and I would hope, what is the rule on indecent speech? Because that's all you're regulating. Is there a rule?
Okay, Jack, let's bring the comment to a conclusion. Invite Dr. Marks to make a quick response because she has a 1 o'clock appointment. She's going to have to leave shortly for.
Good job on a la carte. Let's now go to words.
Dr. Marks, feel free to respond to Jack, and then we'll open it up to the audience.
Being the chief economist at the FCC, I'm not going to be able to give you the detailed indecency response that I think you're looking for.
I congratulate this lady because she's given the answer that President Johnson would have given to me.
But I can respond to some of your remarks. First of all, you raise an issue about the prior FCC report finding that a la carte might raise consumer prices, and a more recent one finding that there were mistakes in the first report and that the same calculations that were done in the first report corrected, changed that conclusion to say that a la carte would decrease consumer prices. So this is a correction that's been identified by the CRS and the economists that were involved in the original analysis. Perhaps the more important issue that you raise about the issues that come up in the first FCC report is the issue of whether content such as the niche programming that you mentioned would be affected by a move to a la carte. So it brings up a type of argument that something like should we not allow consumers to have choice because then we wouldn't be able to subsidize this particular content, content that wouldn't survive in the marketplace on its own. And we're arguing that programming should have to compete and survive on its own in the marketplace, and that it shouldn't be the entertainment industry that makes a choice about the choice that some programming should be subsidized, which programming should be subsidized, and which programming should not.
That is not a matter for the industry itself to decide, are you saying? Is that the current FCC view on the matter? That is to say that what packages are to be put together is not to be left to the industry?
The current FCC view is that consumers would be made better off if they had more control, and if parents had more power to control not only which channel their child is watching, but take that control to the next level, fully empower them to be able to choose what channels to purchase, which channels to support financially.
And that being made better off is going to be ordered by the FCC? I mean, their conception of being made better off is going to prevail over the market's conception of being made better off? I mean, we're up against some basic economic principles here of the incommensurability of interpersonal comparisons of utility, as economists put it, which you're familiar with, I'm sure, and the problem of who is to determine that. And generally, it's left in a free society for markets to determine that rather than for regulatory agencies to determine it.
Yeah, that would be a fine argument if we were talking about a highly competitive market. But with the way
that local jurisdictions controlling access through monopoly grants, it does get to be a problem. I agree. That's where so much of the bottleneck occurs.
And so the FCC has argued that more consumer choice, perhaps in the form of a la carte or themed tiers or many of the options that I talked about that are implemented in other countries, would have benefits to U.S. consumers.
Well, I want to let the questions come. But again, Dr. Marks, with all due respect, that's not what we're talking about. This is not an economic forum. This is about the First Amendment. This is about marketplace. As a matter of fact, the Bush administration is a great believer in the market working its will. The invisible hand of Adam Smith. And I think Roger's got a point. Do American consumers want the federal government telling them how they should buy television or how they should buy cable or DBS? The point is you have never gotten to the point that we need to make. How do you find people without giving them a catalog of the reasons for the fine? In advance, you can't indict anybody in this country for a crime unless you designate the crime. Any lawyer in the country would throw this out of court. But having said this, it's not your fault. You were sent here to do a job, and you did it. And God bless you. I have no problem with that. Let's have the question.
Can you stay for at least one question?
I'm really going to run into trouble here.
Okay,
you already Dr. Mark.
No. She really does. This is the condition.
Penny Nance bails out, and you can't take a question. I mean, you made a lot of statements here speaking for the FCC, and I don't remember an FCC voting on a report. You're talking about you and Kevin Martin about the FCC believes. You're talking about you and Kevin Martin, right? There's no report that was adopted by the commission and put into rules, right?
All right, let's have a let's
well
let's
taken, but
let's please thank Ms. Marks. All right, now Jack, if you want to sit down and just
I'd rather stand.
All right, let's wait for the microphone to come to you. Identify yourself and identify yourself and any affiliation you may have, and we'll take questions for a while here.
To make Communications Daily. The question is, can you tell us some more details about the $300 million 18-month program? I don't think we've heard a lot of details.
Right. The question was from Television Daily was details on this launch. What we're doing is working with the Ad Council and with the McCann Erickson Advertising Agency to prepare television messages that will be deployed to 110 million television homes. This is an 18-month program. We will do research, basic research, of who's doing what in the using of V-chip blocking mechanisms of cable and DBS. Before we launch, at the end of 9 months, we'll do another survey to see what has happened. We'll do another survey at the end of 9 months, so we'll have a base measurement to see how effective or how ineffective this program has begun. Keep in mind, though, this is the first time ever. There have been other attempts at doing this sort of thing, but always in an uncoordinated way. Cable industry at one time, the motion picture industry wasn't involved in that at all. I don't know where the NAB was. But this is the first time that all the elements in visual presentations to the 110 million television homes are deployed to do this and bound together in a seamless unity, as I said before. And we're spending a lot of money with Ad Council and McCann Erickson. But the great bulk of the cost will come in airtime, that when cable systems, television stations, give airtime, it's a cost. And when you add up that cost of thousands and thousands and thousands of messages over an 18-month period, the best estimate of all the groups was at approximately $300 million. Now, we've seen the storyboards, we've seen some of the creative work, we've made our suggestions about it. We're going to have a website, as I said earlier, called ParentalPower.com, in which we will have an easy steps, 1, 2, 3, how you go about using the weaponry at your hands. Now, if there's any more detail you like, that's essentially what it is.
Yes, a young lady here.
Hi there, thanks. It's Stephanie Kirchgesner with the Financial
Times. Can you speak louder?
It's Stephanie with Kirchgesner with the Financial Times. And you made some remarks about the fact that the FCC could not, you suggested that they weren't able to rebut the arguments that you were making. And I don't think you were talking about Dr. Marks, but the FCC as an agency in general. Can you just describe the relationship now between the people you're representing and the FCC and how much dialogue is going on and just expand on that a bit?
Between the coalition and the FCC. Very good. I have met with 3 of the commissioners, and I'll be meeting with Chairman Martin, I think, in about a week. These are cordial. See, I'm a great believer. I learned this from Lyndon Johnson. He used to say, when you get in a political fight, never try to kill your opponent. Always leave him a graceful exit, because your opposition, your adversary today, may have to be your ally tomorrow. I was in government. I never got mad at anybody who took issue with an issue, as long as we talked about it in a sensible, reasonable way. And I've seen 3 commissioners, one of whom is adamantly opposed to what I'm doing, but I found her very charming and very gracious. She listened. And she gave me her view, I gave her my view, and I thought it was a very temperate and gracious conversation. So I think our relationships are fine. I don't burn bridges.
What's their gracious exit on this?
I beg your pardon?
What is their gracious exit on this issue?
Well, I think
what
that...
Are you leaving them open for them?
Well, I think first we have to understand that, and Dr. Marks did not answer the questions about the fining, because obviously that's not her department. I just think it's unfortunate that Ms. Nance couldn't be here. Not her fault. She had some personal problems to deal with. But I think at some point there will be some kind of reasonable agreement. Compromise is not an ignoble word. That's how governments function. And compromise meaning taking somebody on this side and somebody on that side and trying to find middle ground. I did that for 3 years. With the Great Society and Lyndon Johnson, and every president, every agency, every congressman, every senator has to deal with that. So we're talking, we're trying to point out that there are certain areas the FCC cannot venture because of constitutional strictures. Therefore, just dealing with mere words about which Dr. Marks wouldn't deal with, that's all we're dealing with now. What about parents that feel like violence is something they want to deal with? The a la carte thing is something I don't know much about, except to say that I've seen reports from the economic reports that have come to the cable industry that show without any peradventure of a doubt that the minute you do this, you're going to raise the cost of whatever it is that the people are buying. That's what Chairman Michael Powell's FCC found out. So that'll have to settle it out. But right now, there are parental tiers. In effect, right now, family tiers that 3 cable systems, and my guess is that about 70% of the cable systems in America will go to that family tier. And it comes as part of your basic cable, but you get the family tier. If that's all you want, fine.
Yes, this lady right here.
Hello, I'm Susan Phillips from Connect for Kids. My question has to do with research that shows that children in dangerous neighborhoods, low-income neighborhoods, tend to spend more time watching television for obvious reasons, and wondering what kinds of efforts you are going to be making with this campaign to reach those families where parents are often working many hours and perhaps even less have less access to technology than many of us, and also how to reach out to language minority families in your efforts to inform parents about their power.
Well, I'll take the last first. There are about 92 languages being spoken in American schools today, and you can't deal with that. We'll deal in Spanish, which is the largest second language in this country. Number 2, on what we call latchkey children. Families who are on cable, let's assume they're on cable, can leave their house in the morning and with 2 or 3 clicks of their controller can literally eliminate all programs they don't want their children to see. See, I don't want my children to see anything above a TV PG. It's gone. Desperate Housewives is gone, and Lost is gone, and all these other programs are gone. So even a family that's in the house only a few hours a day can do that and blank it out. If it's a V-chip, you can do the same thing. And if they have a television set that's been made in the last 12 years, it has V-chip in it. Now, there are always going to be some people that got a television set that's 20 years old. Well, there's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing that the FCC can do about it, by the way. So I think that we've tried to say that about 95% of the people in this country will be covered in the 110 million television homes, that we're going to do our damnedest to make sure that's so. And I hope that this education and information campaign will increasingly give more and more parents the knowledge that they can do this. And so when that person goes out to work the two jobs and the mama's gone too, they can blank out everything on their television set.
The fellow with his hand right up there on the aisle, way back. No, right there. Yes, you.
Hi, I'm Eric Huey. I'm with Venable Law Firm, representing AFTRA and SAG on the broadcast decency matter, among others. And my question, Mr. Valenti, is about pending legislation in the Congress. The House legislation has a performer fine provision that would fine all Americans, not just performers, radio call-in listeners, man on the street interviewees, $500,000 for the first violation of the FCC's broadcast decency rules. Do you think that's good public policy, and what impact will that have on free and robust discourse over the American airwaves?
Fine.
The fine against Americans, not broadcasters, but American individuals. And performers.
Are you saying that there's a fine that's to be alleged, to be lodged against someone who calls in a radio station,
or an actor, or any performer, Janet Jackson, any individual?
I'm sorry, I didn't follow the question.
There.
I'm certainly opposed to that. I think that's absolutely absurd. And I don't think that dog's going to hunt in any future legislative discussions.
All right. This lady right here.
Hi, I'm April McLean Delaney. I work with Common Sense Media, and we're a nonprofit organization that deals with ratings.
Can you speak up?
Yeah, I can't.
Hi.
My aging
speak
old
into
ears
the microphone.
Can't hear you.
Hello?
There it is. I'm April McLean Delaney. I work with Common Sense Media, and we're a nonprofit that deals with media literacy and ratings issues. We don't use the term indecent. We use the term age-appropriate in terms of programming. And tearing issues aside, with respect to this 12-month, 110-million home rollout, part of it is technology, but the other part is helping educate parents and caregivers about what type of programming is age appropriate. And given, I know Mr. Valenti with the MPAA has long had the whole ratings issue out there, but what kind of information with this campaign are you going to give parents to help them figure out what programming is age appropriate? I mean, we have a website that rates for it, but just curious, how are we going to educate those parents and caregivers to, in turn, utilize the technology and block or not block or figure or TiVo, what have you, that type of programming which is age appropriate?
Well, the television rating system is modeled almost a duplicate copy, almost, of the movie rating system. We've had 36 years of experience. We have overwhelming parental approval in poll after poll that's been taken nationwide. So we know that parents do respond to a rating system that not only tells you what the rating is, but also tells you why. Now, in the television, because there are 2,200 television hours every day, you can't have a panel of people rating, so these are self-rated. But we have a monitoring council that when complaints come in, we examine it and to see whether or not that television series or that episode was not correctly rated. We go to the producer and we usually get it worked out. But the point is that when we say G, TVG, that means we do not believe there's anything in this movie or this episode or whatever it is that will offend you, Mr. and Mrs. Parent. And a PG means there might be some mild things like the Lion King, where a lion cub is killed or something like that, but there's not going to be anything else. Now, when you get to PG-14, we're saying that there may be some things in here that you would find unsuitable. So if you're going to block out programs, you block it out. Anything over PG, you block out. And when you get to TVM, which is mature, which is usually the 10 o'clock shows on television. By the way, every national broadcast television has the practices thing. Standards and practices. They literally vet every show. And people talk about words. How many expletives do you hear on television? Very little. Every movie that goes on television, edited out, is all the language. You don't hear the language in that, except on Saving Private Ryan, because Spielberg refused to have his film edited. But that's not that much on television. I wanted, as I said, the FCC's version of what is indecent is vaguely defined. Yes, sir.
Gentlemen, right.
Well, two things first to clarify. John Egerton, Broadcasting Cable. First, did you say there was going to be sort of an appeal monitoring panel for TV?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's called the Monitoring Board.
And is that already there? Or is that something being created?
It's been in effect ever since the last 10, 12 years.
Okay, well, my real question is, once everybody's been informed, and once there's virtually a V-chip in every TV set.
And a blocking mechanism on cable and blocking mechanisms on DBS.
All right, so once that is all sort of done, should the FCC's power to regulate profanity and decency be rescinded? I mean, if Playboy would then apply, I would think it would.
Well, there was a Supreme Court case called the Playboy, right. And there was one Sable, and there was one on Pacifica. The Supreme Court has laid down. It said that you couldn't force a cable system to blank out a Playboy show on cable, because cable's different. You have to pay for it. You pay for cable to come in your home. You pay for DBS. HBO, you have to pay $15, whatever it is, a month to have it. So if you have it in there, you can't complain about the fact that it has some expletive in The Sopranos, for goodness sakes. So I think that if the FCC would just say what is indecent, they haven't done that. Does anybody in this room know what the rules are for indecency in the FCC? I can offer you some words that they said weren't indecent and I thought were. And on the other hand, they had some that were indecent that all these kids in the back know those words very well. They know what they are. So it is the fuzziness, the tenuousness of rules of the game that aren't rules at all. They're subjective judgments that change, just as the Michael Powell's FCC about a la carte changed when Kevin Martin came in. And I'm not criticizing Kevin Martin. He has a right to do that. But as somebody pointed out, the FCC never voted on it.
Doug Hanlon in TV Week. Sir, I just wondered if this industry initiative, if you sense that this is enough to hold the legislation at bay in the Senate. It appears like they may just go ahead and vote on the broadcast indecency legislation regardless of this thing. But.
Well, I've learned in my long and some would say checkered career in this town in Hollywood that I don't predict what legislation is going to be. I think you'll find that each United States senator is his own or her own person, and they make their own judgments. They don't sit around saying, well, I'm waiting for Jack Valenti to tell me what to do. I wish they did, but they don't. Therefore, I can't tell you. I really don't know at this time, and that's God honest truth.
Okay, this gentleman here.
Bill Triplett from Variety. Jack, just to follow on that real quickly, I know that you started this initiative largely at the request of Senators Stevens and Inouye for this $300 million campaign. Has either of those senators given you any indication how long they may just hold off on moving any indecency legislation until they see this, if it works or not?
No, they haven't. It is true that Senator Stevens is in a way on November 29 when they asked me to testify. I sat alongside Kevin Martin, and I sat alongside Brent Bozell, the Parents Television Council. And no, they haven't. But while I'm talking about the Parents Television Council, let me just tell you something about complaints. I have to tell you that I'm very admiring of Brent Bozell. I think he's done an unbelievable job, and whatever they're paying, they ought to triple it. What he's done is he lobbied the FCC in 2002 or 3 to allow them to change their methodology of treating complaints. And in January of 2004, the FCC agreed to do what the PTC, the Parents Television Council, wanted, and that is to allow computer-generated form letters to be counted as a complaint. In February of 2005, get this, after this new rule went into effect, the number of complaints because of these computer-generated form letters went from 119,000 in February of the previous year to 535,000 in 05. 400,000 complaints more were filed computer-generated. TV Watch had done some research to find out in 04, 99.8%, 99.8% of all complaints to the FCC were driven by computer-generated through the Parents Television Council. So I'm saying, I don't know who funds PTC, but they ought to get a monument up to Brent Bozell because he's done one heck of a job.
All right, let's take one more question, and then we'll break for lunch all the way in the back. The man with his hand up.
Hi, I'm Edward Roeder with Sunshine Press. I suspect that Dr. Marks was sent here because the FCC is using a free market economic argument on bundling versus a la carte to attempt to get off the air the kind of programming that Brent Bozell doesn't like instead of using an anti-First Amendment argument. It seems that it's not very different from the notion that to watch a dirty movie you used to have to go to a dirty bookstore to rent it, and then it became available on cable, so a whole lot more people were watching dirty movies. My question is about bundling, the a la carte notion. If they break it down into a la carte by bundles of channels, why couldn't they simply break it down by program or even units within programs? That is, HBO by itself is a bundle of programs of various kinds. And I'm not talking about the various HBO channels, just the single channel. And how far would they carry the bundling or the a la carte notion? And might it eventually even reach the notion of a la carte selecting of only bowdlerized programs, versions of Shakespeare or whatever? Is there any limit to how far that a la carte can go in an effort to sort of embarrass people into not purchasing programming that the Brent Bozells of the world disapprove of?
Well, it's a pretty good question. My own feeling is that right now, of course, HBO is a bundle. You have to buy HBO separate. If I'm on Comcast cable, I have to pay extra for my bill to get me HBO. I want to get Showtime. So that's already. But I think the economic studies done by the cable systems, and I've looked at some summaries of them, show without any question that the average cost of cable would go up if you had people doing the so-called a la carte. But I haven't been involved in it that closely to make a full judgment on it. But what I have seen tells me that Michael Powell's economic survey done in the previous FCC was worthier, in fact, than I think the one that the new administration has. But that's just my judgment on the thing. And I think the idea of trying to shame people into doing certain things, I don't think that works. I'm a great believer. I want the government out of my personal life. I don't want the government to tell me what God I should worship, what denomination I should go to. That's a very private thing. And I don't want my government or my neighbor to tell me how to conduct the bringing up of my children. That's something for parents to do. And I think these young kids back there, as I said earlier, their parents may be different because of some of their kids are quite precocious, some are not. So you deal with them differently. There is no one standard, no gold standard, the FCC or the FTC or the whatever alphabetical agency of the government. That's my position. It's been my position when I first joined the movie industry. I said it's wrong to have censorship like the Hays Code, and I threw its ass out of there. By the way, I've just been indecent, for goodness sakes. Forgive me, young people, I'm sorry. I'll be fine. Thank goodness she's gone. But I'm a great believer that the government should stay out of people's personal lives. And I trust, yes, keep the marketplace level, make sure there's competition. Have criminal laws, absolutely, because those criminal laws are firmly and clearly stated. But you cannot have subjectivity the way the FCC is doing it now. Without a catalog, without a summary, without a specific origin of what it is that you're violating. And I resent that. I just think that's wrong. And I'm one that I can recite the First Amendment to you. Those 45 words are the one clause in the Constitution which guarantees all the others. And it must be made proof against intrusions by government agencies. And remember this, throughout history, when a tyrant first appears, he always comes as your protector. That's the way it always happens. Well, I don't want to be protected by the government. I'll handle my private life and my children. And I have three children, and I was very stern with them when they were growing up. They hated the movie rating system because I wouldn't let them see a lot of films. But parents like that, and that's the way it ought to be. And on that jubilant note, I hand this back to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jack. As we said, as we said in the invitation, this proposal sounds like a way in which the market can solve this matter by allowing parents to program their own TVs in a much more parent-friendly way than heretofore they've been able to do. And so it's a win-win all the way around, and let's hope it succeeds. So please join us upstairs for lunch, and thank you for coming.